The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
All right, so America is afraid right now. America is afraid in two different ways, and we need to understand the fear on each side. One, there's a group of people in America that is legitimately afraid of guns because they didn't grow up around guns. They don't understand guns. They see these weapons on television and they look very, very frightening. You have television saying, you know, what do you use as a sporting rifle? Well, that is a sporting rifle. In fact, it wasn't a weapon of war. It was originally designed in the 1950s as a sporting rifle, but it happened to be more rugged. And so Colt had the license and they made them for the military. So this was a hunting rifle that then was adopted by the military. Well, you can't have high-capacity magazines. High-capacity magazines have been in rifles since 1911. High-capacity magazines, some say, were invented in either 1820 or 1840, but we know that they came to market in 1893. So they've been around for a very long time. But people are afraid because they don't have any experience around them. And we have to understand that if you're a gun owner or you're a member of the NRA or you're in the second, you know, into the Second Amendment, you have to understand people's fear. Now, let's flip this around. The left has to understand our fear. And our fear is you're coming after our guns. No, we're not. No, we're not. We've heard that for years. We're not coming after your guns. And yet we have had the whispers of Democrats who have then said, well, yeah, we're going to start here. But that's always been brushed off as conspiracy. This is why the right does not want to have a conversation with anyone in Washington about common sense gun legislation. Because we don't believe that you're not going to take all of the guns in the end. When President Obama said we want to do what, you know, look at Australia. Well, let's look at Australia. It was gun confiscation. Well, look at what happened in England. It was gun confiscation. So those are the two fears. So now what do we do? Well, now we look at how this is playing out. Democrats are now gearing up for a gun-grabbing jihad. Now, how can I possibly say that? Well, with real authority, because you can look at the bill that they are developing. The Washington Examiner reported yesterday that Democrats are proposing a weapons ban and gun confiscation powers. And the inspiration didn't come from anyone on the left. It came from their new muse in the White House. After his comments on Wednesday, they were emboldened and they believe they have the power to begin the war on guns. Now, we don't know for sure what is in the upcoming proposed bill. But they are floating things now. Democrats are beginning to talk just enough for us to get a clue as to what we're looking at. The details include expanded background checks, the banning of certain kinds of weapons, and a plan to temporarily confiscate anybody's guns if they're deemed to be a threat to themselves or others. Okay, those all sound like common sense, don't they? But let's take it line by line. Expanded background checks. What does that mean? Currently, only 38 states require for everybody to put in all of the stuff for the background checks. Only 38 states. Well, let's just make sure that everyone is required to put, you know, domestic abuse and things like that into the background check. But that's not what we're talking about. We have a background check system. But Democrats are now worried about private sales. Okay, what does that mean? Well, if I'm going to sell my gun to a neighbor, you can do that without a background check. Okay, well, maybe we should be able to have a background check if somebody, if I'm advertising my gun in the newspaper or whatever, and somebody says, hey, I want to buy your gun. If it's a neighbor and I know them, do I have to have a background check? Well, we have to have background check. Okay. How? Do I go to an FFL? Are they the ones that are going to keep all of the records? Or do I somehow or another have to keep all of the records? By the way, does a background check involve a transfer? My problem here is if I want to give my Henry rifle to my son, does he have to have a background check? These are the little details that never get disclosed, and I can guarantee you that the Democrats aren't even going to try. Second, the bill is rumored to contain a ban on, quote, certain weapons. Now, Democrats are all up in arms over assault-style weapons. Well, what are assault-style weapons? Well, even though the vast majority of people in Washington have no clue as to what they're even talking about, Debbie Wasserman Schultz went on CNN yesterday as the poster child for the clueless liberal on guns, and she said, we have to keep, quote, high-capacity, rapid-fire magazines out of the hands of civilians. Well, I think that's going to be pretty easy because I don't know what a high-capacity, rapid-fire magazine is. They're also talking about any gun with a detachable magazine. Okay. If anybody doesn't know, a magazine is what you load all the bullets in and then you put it at the, you know, the bottom of the gun and it loads the gun. Well, that a detachable magazine also includes handguns and pretty much everything that isn't from the 1860s. Now, I've never heard of a magazine that can fire its own ammunition, let alone at a high rate of speed. But we should look into this before it's suddenly banned. She then went on to say that military-style weapons should be available only to the military. Okay, but that doesn't include the AR, because the AR was designed as a hunting rifle in the 1960s and only was taken in for the military. I'm sorry, designed in the 50s and taken in by the military during the Vietnam War. Armalite sold the plans to the military, who then adopted it with burst and rapid fire. The civilian models do not have that. It's actually more correct to say that the military is using a civilian-style weapon. But these people have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. Democrats want an all-out ban on semi-automatic weapons. That eliminates 80% of the market. 80. That will leave you with bolt-action hunting rifles and, you know, Wyatt Earp six-shooters. And finally, gun confiscation. Democrats are proposing a program where family and law enforcement could petition a court to have someone's gun taken away if they're deemed mentally unstable. Okay. All right. If the family can petition that, okay. But let's look into this a bit and ask, does this extend to anyone on medication? Will simply being on antidepressants now be enough to label you fully on mentally unstable? Let me ask you this. I begged veterans when this first started to break, how the government was pressuring the veterans. Just sign and say you have PTSD. You've never had a bad dream? Just sign. You get extra money for it. Will this include veterans? What about ADD medication? We are headed down a dark, dark path. Yes, we need solutions, but this bill is definitely not one. Let's hope that the president puts it right where it belongs, in the trash.
It's Friday, March 2nd. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, yesterday, Condoleezza Rice was on The View, and she was saying, well, we don't need these assault-style weapons. Okay. Meghan McCain stepped up and said, wait a minute, my brother, my dad have these weapons. And it's not a problem. This is hunting. And she said, I know everybody makes fun of us when we say we hunt with an AR, but that's what you do. This is a modern sporting rifle. That's what it was designed for. So then we had Joy Behar. And Joy Behar chimed in and she said, well, what did you use when there was a weapons ban on these? Joy, let me respond. The same weapon.
It doesn't have any idea what that bill did.
She had no idea.
Unbelievable.
It doesn't take away. This is the problem. What they're going to do is, at first, they will say, we're going to ban the sales of all these weapons. You can't buy them. Okay. Well, that leaves about 320 million guns out in the system. And what they'll do is they'll say, you can't sell those kinds of guns. Anything with a detachable magazine on it. Okay. Well, all of those guns are already out in the system. There is also something, becoming an epidemic in what's called ghost guns. Because you can buy all of the pieces or make all of the pieces now with 3D printing of guns. You can assemble them. You can buy pieces online and assemble them yourself. Now they're not registered. Who do you think's going to get that? Who do you think's going to be doing that? Law-abiding citizens? By the way, in all of the shootings, all of the mass shootings in our country, never has there been an NRA member. No NRA members have ever been a part of that. I just want to let you know. So she says, what is it that they used? They used the same weapon that was just banned. What you have to do if you really want this to reduce the number of these weapons is you have to then go door to door and confiscate all of them. Oh, but you've promised us already. That's not what you want to do. By the way, out of all of the shooters, what is it, 7 of them or 9 of them were under 21? And out of all of those shooters, I believe only one of them purchased their gun. Every other gun they got their hands on because of someone else. They're not going out and buying them. Oh, hang on. One other thought, Democrats. Because I know discrimination is horrible, right? There are laws to prevent discrimination. So now you have stores who are going out and they are saying this is a constitutionally legal weapon to sell. And I will sell it. I will sell the AR, but I will not sell it to someone under 21. Yet, that's not what the law says. The law says that at 18, you can buy the weapon. Isn't this age discrimination by Dick's? If Dick's decided to say, you know what, we're really having a problem in the inner cities of Chicago with these weapons, so we're not going to sell these to any black people. Do you think that would be called discrimination? Because you don't trust people under 21. You are deciding that you aren't going to sell a certain item. You'll sell it. But just not to these people. My gosh, what kind of discrimination? Sounds almost like a wedding cake issue, doesn't it? I provide that service, but I'm not going to sell it to them.
And it's specifically banned in several states. I mean, discrimination based on age. California is a big example of this. I don't think Walmart or Dick's are going to be able to implement this policy
in
California. Well,
I certainly
legally.
I hope somebody sues them for discrimination.
They should, because they're breaking their own laws.
Yep.
Again, I think there's a...
And again, the left is again showing themselves as... And I say this, please, if you happen to be somebody on the left, I say this knowing what the right looks like now as well. I wish we had some moral high ground, but we don't. But the left has exposed themselves of, you don't really care about discrimination. You will discriminate if you want it bad enough. You'll discriminate. You're doing it here with weapons. How?
Remember some of these states that will not allow ladies' nights at bars because you can't give cheaper drinks to women or free drinks to women and not to men, or free admission to women and not to men. You can't do that because it violates these discrimination laws. How this, you know, bill by, or this move by Dix and others doesn't violate that, I have no idea.
Well, there's one way that it will be heard in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is wrong more than any other is over their decisions are overturned more than any other court in the land. But also because justice in America is no longer blind.
Glenn Beck.
All right. So we have some more good news. We have a trade war starting. President announced yesterday that he was going to take steel and aluminum and protect our nation. And so we've started a trade war. And this morning he tweeted, can you give me the exact tweet? Because it's pretty remarkable and I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing. I mean, because we're talking trade wars here. It's a very it's an interesting proposal here. When a country, parentheses USA, end parentheses, just in case you weren't sure what country he was talking about. When a country, USA, is losing many billions of dollars on trade with virtually every country it does business with, trade wars are good and easy to win.
No, they're not.
No.
And they're not good. And let me just give you a little page of history. Smoot-Hawley, it was the beginning of a trade war. The Smoot-Hawley bill barely passed the Senate, passed the populist House in the 1920s. And President Hoover, even though they begged President Hoover, 1,000 economists came out and said, please don't do this. Trade wars are easy to win. Let me just read this. Smoot-Hawley contributed to the early loss of confidence on Wall Street. Hey, what happened yesterday? Stu, did you hear about Wall Street?
It was a really good up a zillion points, I believe.
Either that or over 2 days of trading between up and down, it's 1,000 points spread. 1,000 points. At one point yesterday, it was down 550 points. Anyway, so first, it was the early loss of confidence on Wall Street, you know, 1929, 1930, and it signaled to the markets isolationism. By raising the tariffs by some 20%, it also prompted retaliation from foreign governments. Later, overseas banks began to fail. Gee, other countries, 2 dozen countries, then joined in the war. This is a trade war, and
Beck,
you don't
Mercury.
Win them.
Listening to the Glenn Beck program.
Okay, so the Dow's only down another 248 points at the opening bell, but that's no big deal. Has nothing to do with the trade war that we're going to win, because you always win trade wars. Look, the president has done some really good things. He has done some really good policies. His policies on judges have been really good, beyond Gorsuch. He has done some good things.
Universally praised, I think, by conservatives.
Yes, I'll take the tax cut. It's not what I wanted, but I'll take it. It was good. It's better than going the other direction. Jerusalem was great. There are some policies that he has done. The EPA, the reduction of all of these, you know, all of the
regulations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really good. Mm-hmm. And I support him on that. And we have to support him when he's right. When he's wrong, we must call him out. Trade wars are not winners.
No one wins in a trade war. Neither side.
Let me just finish this from the history books here. In 1928, the campaign for the Republican was Herbert Hoover. He promised to increase tariffs on agricultural goods. But then when he took office, lobbyists from other economic sectors stepped in and said, you know, there needs to be a broader increase on just about everything. So he passed it and signed it. Smoot-Hawley, this is a Smoot-Hawley trade bill. It contributed to the early loss of confidence on Wall Street, signaled the U.S. isolationism by raising the average tariff by 20%. It also prompted retaliation from foreign governments, and many banks began to fail. Within 2 years, two dozen countries adopted similar beggar-thy-neighbor duties, making worse an already beleaguered world economy. Now, good thing we don't have a beleaguered world economy. And reducing global trade. U.S. imports and U.S. exports to Europe fell by two-thirds between 1929 and 1932. Okay.
Those years were good years, though. 29 to 32.
Those were
great years.
Those were great years. And, you know, and that didn't help push, you know, Hitler over the edge or anything. It did nothing. Everybody won, especially our side. Let me just recap. Let me just see if I have this right. So there was a Republican candidate who was Herbert Hoover. And Herbert Hoover was known as this great capitalist, this great industrialist. He was a builder of things. Hoover Dam. He was a builder. He was a great businessman and industrialist. And so everybody thought, well, he's got a handle on things. And he was a big believer in trade war. And so he campaigned on trade war. Then he got into office, and his second year in office, he passed a trade bill, and he started the trade war, because we can win a trade war. When he announced it, the stock market took a nosedive. And then other countries started to retaliate. And then it went horribly wrong. We were in the Great Depression, which led then to a socialist progressive movement where they were accusing the Republicans and the conservative movement for not understanding how an economy works. And they were blamed for the economy, which led to 15 years of progressive socialist kind of economics and kept the United States in a depression until there was a global war. The good thing is, I don't see any similarities at all. I don't see any similarities. I think we're okay.
Really, because what you just said has a lot of similarities to what we're facing today.
I don't see any of them.
Really?
Oh, okay. I don't see a single one.
It's incredible. I mean, this is, you know, there's a couple of ideas of how this was going with the president. Because I think everybody, even most of the supporters of Donald Trump, mm-hmm. recognize that he had some really good ideas mm-hmm. and some really bad ideas. And so the idea was year one, he decided to, the people around him and him decided to do the things that were his good ideas mm-hmm. and wait until year two to do the bad ones. Mm-hmm. In other words, the people around him talked him into prioritizing the things that they liked, right? Mm-hmm. Is it that? Or was it The optimistic side, Trump gets into office, realizes sort of the realities of the situation, maybe throws away some of the worst rhetoric about trade and some of these other issues that would be damaging, and just decides not to do them. We still don't know what the real answer to that is, because he's hasn't done a lot of the trade stuff. He's announced these tariffs are not in effect yet. He has done other tariffs. I mean, if you want to be optimistic, you hope that he doesn't actually follow through with these things. Maybe he sees the 1,000-point stock market drop, and again, he likes to win. He doesn't. He's not going to want to. He's not going to like the idea of a falling stock market. Maybe he changes.
No, it really hurt him. It really hurt him. By the way, you know, as you were talking, I thought, okay, I know why Stu is starting to see some similarities.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but it was a different time, Stu.
A different time.
It was a different time.
Okay, good.
For instance, back then, there was this big movement by one party to say that, you know, Russia is fine and it's good and they're our friends. And then there was the other group. They were all saying that National Socialism isn't Nazism, but even Nazis were starting to grow up all around the country and the world. So there was there was an embracing of Russia and also National Socialism.
So big time asterisks.
Totally different. It's totally different. Totally different. Yeah.
Wow. It's scary because it's, you know, protectionism breeds more protectionism. It's one of those things. It's like spending on schools. Oh, well, we're not spending enough on schools. Then you increase the amount you spend on schools and you realize, well, it hasn't improved the situation at all. That's because we're not spending enough on schools. And so then you spend more on schools, and then you say, well, that's not really doing anything. That's because we're not spending enough on schools. Wait a minute. Now we're spending more on schools than any other nation in the developed world.
Yeah, but we're not spending enough on schools.
That's the answer, and that's what happens with these trade situations.
So isn't it interesting?
The aren't high enough.
Isn't it interesting, too, that that Vladimir Putin came out yesterday and said that he's got a new weapon? Have you heard about this weapon?
Yes, it's indestructible.
It's indestructible.
Like the Titanic.
It sounds like scramjet technology, which we've never been able to develop scramjet technology because all alloys melt at that speed.
Mm.
Okay. It just can't hold up at that speed. So if we had that technology, we could do things where you could be on the planet, you know, anywhere in the planet in 20 minutes. You know, you could be anywhere on the planet in 5 minutes if you have scramjet technology. They apparently have that. It's amazing. And so he did an interview yesterday with Megyn Kelly where he said, yeah, we have it. Of course, they're only showing animations.
Yeah.
They're not showing any of the footage of it, which makes some skeptics say he doesn't really have it. Now, this is entirely different. I want you to understand, historically, this is entirely different than when, in the 1980s, Russia was mired in a never-ending war, and they were on the economic brink, and they were doing all this crazy stuff, and their ruble and the banks, and they were starting to lose face with, you know, all the rest of their allies. And then Ronald Reagan came in and said, I've got Star Wars technology, lasers, which will shoot things out of the sky. And of course, we didn't have that technology, but it started an arms race. Oh, it's entirely different. Yesterday, in the interview with Megyn Kelly, Vladimir Putin said, we're in an arms race now. So the best thing we can do, if we learn from history, is engage in that arms race and just spend like crazy.
Well, now you've really blown it up because Reagan's dead. So it can't be the same. And let me just say that again. Reagan's dead. Dead.
That doesn't really sound optimistic.
Dead.
I was trying to be optimistic.
Dead.
You're not.
Very, very dead.
Stu, help me out here.
We can sit
Friday.
Here. You have to hope that he doesn't do these things, right? I mean, you have to hope that he has one bad experience with these tariffs. He's never going to admit it was a mistake. But you hope that after he sees the results of these things, maybe he decides not to go out on a limb, because all of his economic advisors inside, I mean, Larry Kudlow is hammering on him. He's one of the guys who designed the tax plan for Donald Trump. You know, Gary Cohn, they're talking about him potentially leaving the administration over this. He does not have, with the exception of a couple really anti-trade people in that he's put into the administration, most people in the administration don't agree with him on this.
Well, here's the good thing. Completely unlike 1929, where a thousand economists said, don't do this, Mr. President.
And the scary thing is Trump really believes this one.
Oh, yeah. This one is him.
This is him.
This is the one that we were really afraid of. I mean, we were afraid of a lot of things, and he's come through on a lot of things.
Yeah.
This one we were really afraid of because I remember saying, I guarantee you this will happen, because he believes this. And this is something that he's rooted himself on, and he believes to the depth of his soul.
And I can give you all the numbers on the other times we've tried this, that the best case scenario is over $300,000 per job. That's the best one we've been able to accomplish. They go a lot worse. The worst one was $2.34 million per job saved in the steel industry. And these are much smaller tariffs.
Let's just write a check for $1 million for all the people that might lose their job in the steel industry.
Yeah, I mean, it would certainly save us a lot of money. But, I mean, forget that even. Think about it from a conservative ideological level. Let's say Obamacare. Take tax hikes that are going to fund programs. Why don't we like those? Because they're redistribution of wealth, right? The government's getting involved in the middle of this process and saying, hey, I'm going to take from group A and give to group B. Remember Joe the plumber, right? It's a redistribution of wealth. We're taking from group A and we're giving to group B. We as conservatives don't like when the government makes those decisions. Now go to tariffs. What is that? A tariff is the government adding a tax on consumers, taking from group A and distributing it to group B, the favorite industry of the moment, steel, aluminum, washing machines, whatever the product is. It is a redistribution of wealth. Forget whether it works, which it doesn't. But it is a fundamental violation of everything we've argued about over the past 30 years.
Whatever. That
is the attitude.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, if you were right, the Dow would be down 320 points. Oh my gosh, it's down 320 points. That's weird.
We've had a decent run with the economy over the past few years. And, you know, it might be time for you to look at the gains that you've made in your housing price and switch into something else. A lot of people are doing that. But you can't just say, all right, I'm going to sell the house and think that everything's going to go swimmingly. You need to maybe find the best agent around to try to help you through that transaction and make sure that it's done right, that you can sell your house for the most money possible, and make sure you take advantage of what has been a good run in the economy and could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with your biggest investment. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is a website. It's a network of over 1,200 agents all over America. We're talking about people who are qualified, who listen to the show and share your values, and they're made up of the best agents in America, and they're also fans of Glenn. I don't know if that helps them or not, but you get to judge that. If you need to sell a house fast and for the most money, or if you're looking to buy, go to realestateagentsitrust.com, realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
So I'm anxious to talk to Bill O'Reilly, because there are days that Bill and I don't agree on anything, and I'm not sure where he stands on tariffs or, I'm not sure.
Hey, he likes the politics of it, though. I mean, that's what he likes to dive into.
I don't. I'm tired of looking at politics as a sport. There's too much at stake. It's not like, oh, my team didn't win. Oh, well, next year. My team is the country, you know?
It'll be interesting. I think, you know, look, we're joking about the Dow being down at some level. Like, you can't judge these things immediately by them. The Dow may be up in a week and replace all these gains. There's 100 things that can happen. It's just a bad policy.
This time next week, we should know about the Dow. And it it took a couple of years for protectionism to really... destroy the global economy.
And there may be no retaliation over this if it's limited to this.
I don't know. Have you seen what China has done? They've just made they've just made an emperor out of their president.
He's a great leader though.
Yeah, and he did ban. I'm not kidding you, Stu. He did ban the letter N this week. The letter N has been banned in China. Wait until you hear the reason. It's crazy.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.